Before we pray about these things and whatever else the Lord puts on your heart, let's look into the scripture, and our place this evening is 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. So join me there in 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter. We just have a couple of verses tonight, one of these short prayers of Paul. As you know, we've been looking through a number of his prayers, and we have this one. As he thought about the Thessalonians, he prayed this. So 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 11 and 12. To this end also we pray for you always, that our God will count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus will be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. We just sort of break this down in sections tonight, be the easiest way to do this. Paul said, I pray for you always. That's interesting right there, because it tells us he assumed nothing, or he presumed nothing. He knew the strength of the enemy. He knew the weakness of the flesh. He knew the temptations of the world. And therefore, he never thought, oh, they'll be fine. You know, the Lord blessed them. He called them. He saved them. They'll be just fine. He never thought that way, did he? And those of you who keep praying for your kids or keep praying for your grandkids, you're right. You're right to do it. Paul said, we pray for you always. Always. And as long as we're in the flesh, it's a fine prayer for ourselves, isn't it? I mean, you know the weakness of your own bodies and flesh and the temptation of the world. You know the strength, at least in part, of the adversary. And it's the kind of thing that when we come before God, this is a fine thing to remember for ourselves as well. Always. We pray for you always. Now, what is he praying for? He's praying for the Lord's approval, isn't he? He says, pray for you that the God, our God, will count you worthy of your calling. I think instinctively we know what it means to be counted worthy. For instance, the employee wants to be deemed worthy of being hired. Oh, I'm glad I hired that person. I knew it. I just knew it. They'd come through. And that's the sort of thing that I think it's down deep in there we feel that. Or maybe if you're borrowing money from the bank and the creditor's looking across the desk at you and he's examining your credit score and your past payment history. And what do you want? You want him to deem, or her, you want them to deem you worthy of a loan. And Paul is saying much the same. We want, and we pray this always, that God would count you worthy. He would count you worthy. In other words, what we want is that day when we hear this from our Lord's lips, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. So that's what instinctively the Christian wants to hear. And this is what Paul is praying about here, this desire to please the Lord, to satisfy him, to honor him with our very lives. Now, worthy of what? He says, to this end we pray for you always that our God will count you worthy of your calling. Now, I'd like to give you a quote from Alexander McLaren. Have you heard the name McLaren? Alexander McLaren? Of all things, he was a Scottish Baptist. And you didn't think, that's like oil and water, isn't it? You'd think, well, if he's from Scotland, he's a Presbyterian. No, he's from Scotland and he was a Baptist. And he lived into the 1900s. I think he passed away in 1910. But this is what he said about your calling. When he's looking at this, he said, our God will count you worthy of your calling. Now, what is he speaking of? He says, your calling does not mean your avocation. And it doesn't mean your employment, as I scarcely need to explain. But he goes on, it means the divine fact of our having been summoned by him to be his. And I just tell you, I love that. We're called by God to what? To be his. We're called by the Lord to be his. Now, that kind of statement, that kind of reality, that calling, it just spans the Testaments. You find it in the Old, you find it in the New. I want to read something to you from Exodus. It's been a while since we've been there, but you might remember this. Moses went up to God, and the Lord said to him from the mountain, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the sons of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. We're called to be his. We're called to him, aren't we? And the Lord went on, now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel. So ever before he gave them the Ten Commandments, he laid this upon them. This is the calling upon these, our ancient brethren. This was what they were to be, a peculiar people, the Lord's own people. They were to be a holy nation. In living in the midst of unholiness, they were to be holy, and they were to be a kingdom of priests. And so then you come, we say it spans the Testaments, and we come to our verse here, and we see that we have a calling upon ourselves. Our calling. He's praying that we would be worthy of our calling. God would count us worthy of our calling. What might that calling be? And I think we can just look in the body of this letter and find some things that give us some clear indication. Look down in chapter 2, verse 13. Paul says, we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. And there is just, in a nutshell, that's a picture of our life here, isn't it? We've been called, and God has called us to be his sons and daughters. And what that means is he has given to us the Spirit of adoption, which means we have been transformed, which means we have been saved. God has given us faith to look into the face of the Lord Jesus Christ and call upon his name. And our calling is to call upon him, and we've called upon him. And he said, and Paul goes on, and then he wants to sanctify us. He wants to change us more and more. And here's this idea. It's not just unique to Paul. It's in the heart of God. More, more. A painful rhetorical question. When you sin, do you find the Spirit convicting you? Do you find it to be a painful experience? Do you feel like I've grieved him, I've quenched him, I've stifled the movings of his Spirit? That's the blessing of God. That's the voice of the Spirit within you arguing against sin and moving you towards righteousness. And this is the calling upon us. This is our life here, through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth of God. So we have a picture of what our life is to be. And to go along with that, verse 12 of our little section, chapter 1, verse 12, so that the name of our Lord Jesus will be glorified in you, that the sons of earth can look at the sons of God as they live their lives in the midst of it and say, look at this. Last week we were considering how the world said of the church, look how they love one another. Behold this. Peter says they're going to be asking you, explain this hope that's in you. And so they're looking, they're watching, they're tasting, as it were, and seeing, why are these people different? And it's part of the calling. The name of our Lord Jesus be glorified in you, and then you in him. So this is a picture of our life here. This is our calling as we walk through this age. And then, chapter 2, verse 1. Now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him. Paul has been describing this in his first letter, and he resumes it in the second. The Son of God is coming again. He's going to break open the heavens and descend in glory and majesty. And his saints are going to marvel in this and glory in this. And they're going to... And Paul in another place will say, and then we will be redeemed, transformed, changed forever into his likeness. So, toward that end, what does Paul continue to pray? He's asking, oh God, every day, praying for you always, count them worthy of your calling, their calling, Lord. What's he asking for is particularly fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power. I think these things are almost self-explanatory as well. You want to do right, don't you? Your kids somewhere, if they're Christians, if they're believers, the spirit within them wants to do right. Now, their siblings might provoke them, and class is what it is, and school being what it is. It's just, it's hard. But this is what he's praying for. He's seizing upon that, saying, Lord, grant this. Give them power that desire for goodness could be fulfilled. They could see it coming through. They want this, and they know something of the power of God to accomplish that desire. Fulfill that desire for goodness and the work of faith with power. We started with that song, the work of faith will not be done till you obtain your crown. Did I get that right? Now we think the work of faith, well, I'm going to move this mountain over to that place. I'm going to move this tree until it'll be planted in the sea. Maybe. Those are specific things. But as I gather what Paul is describing here and thinking about and praying over is the work of faith that we are engaged in every single one. You say, no, I don't have the gift of faith. Yes, maybe you don't, but that's not what he's describing here. He is describing what every one of us needs to do, which is to look into the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, to believe upon him as we call upon him, and then to, in that relationship, the change begins to take place. We are changed from glory to glory, and it's faith. It's if you want to think of it this way, it's the you're moving a mountain in you, and you're telling him to go somewhere else. Lord, take this perverse nature out of me. Give me a new spirit, like Ezekiel said. Let me soar into the heavens like Isaiah said. Make all things new, like Jeremiah said. Lord, do these things in me. It's the work of faith. And Lord, when that rises in the spirits of your people, meet that with power. The power of God to change them. So, to this end, we pray for you always that our God will count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power. It's as if he is seeing God's people gathered around for the great judgment, not the judgment of condemnation, but the judgment where he looks upon the life. And one saint that was given 5 talents comes up to him and says, and Lord, here's 5 more. Well done. That's what he's looking at. And God counting us worthy of the calling that was on us as we stand before him. It's a sobering thought. But therefore, he prayed. He prayed, and he prayed always. lets us do the same. Let's pray.